Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hosting hot tip. You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome pieces for our short-term rentals?
Well, we're going to let you in on our secret weapon. It is Manoan. They have steep discounts on over 100 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Parachute, Velo. The list goes on and on. But these discounts are for hosts and designers for hosts only.
I had my eye on this awesome coffee table from Wayfair, wanting to give our listing that wow factor, but you know us. We are all about having our numbers dialed in and staying budget friendly.
And that's where Manoan stepped in with an awesome discount. And here's the kicker. Becoming a member is totally free. Yes, I said free. F-R-E-E. No cost to join. No monthly membership. It is completely free. But these discounts are exclusive. You do have to be a host or a designer for hosts.
Once you're a member, all you have to do is head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and purchase and fill your shopping cart in just a few clicks. And it's not just furniture and decor. Restock your most used items anytime you need to refill your supply area.
Exactly. And the best part, again, no catch. There's no fees, nada. Just major discounts waiting for you. Being a Manoan member is like being a VIP host without breaking the bank.
So head on over to ManoanExperience.com. That's M-I-N-O-A-N experience.com, or just simply click the link in our show notes and sign up and let the savings begin.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's kick off this episode like we do each and every week, and that is sharing, showcasing. I couldn't decide what I wanted to say there. One of you, our amazing listeners, who's using our hashtag.
Sharecasing.
If you use our hashtag, STR Share Sunday on the gram, we will find you. We will share you.
We will showcase you. Sharecase you.
Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharecasing at the Wanderstay. Again, it's at the Wanderstay, so W-A-N-D-E-R. Like, not all those who wander are lost. I love that bumper sticker. Just gonna put that in there. A huge tip I want to give about this Instagram. One thing I loved about it, I'm like, oh, we haven't talked about this yet. If you go to their highlights, they have a section, and it's called Bloggers. And kind of shifted my mindset today to talk about influencers. I'm sure, hopefully, a lot of you are having people, influencers reach out that want to stay at your property. And I encourage you to make sure that it's not just a story that's posted, something that's fleeting. What are they going to give you in exchange? If this is some sort of, if there's compensation, you know, if you're going to give them the stay. We love that the Wanderstay is getting blog posts. so good for your SEO. Letting someone have that written format of what your home was like. I'm sure they'll attach some photos too, but just want you to think about who's coming to your home and what can they offer? Is it just a quick story or a TikTok? How is there a way that the content can live on? And we love that blogs can live on, help you with your search engine optimization. If they are bloggers, they are working on their search engine optimization. So if you don't know what SEO is, please research SEO. If you have a direct booking site, you're going to want to be working on it. But I just wanted to say kudos to them for having these bloggers stay and hopefully getting that written content that's going to help them in the future. And also, they have beautiful photos and they're just the cutest family too. I saw that they have their family picture there. I love when people include pictures of themselves so people get to know you a little better. And we want to know your story. And this kind of goes into today's episode of why telling your story and your story matters always when it comes to your short-term rental.
Let's say you just closed on a property. It's your first one. You are so excited. You've done so much due diligence. You've got an amazing spreadsheet. You've got a real estate agent. You have looked online to find out everything there is to know about short-term rentals in your area, just to find out 6 months after you close that the area you thought you were in isn't, and you're actually not legally allowed to short-term rent your property out for the amount of days that you would need to make that investment worth it. That is exactly what happened to today's guests, Callie and Bob. But like, I know probably all of you wouldn't do. They didn't just sit there and take it. They decided to step up and do something about it. And like Annette says in the episode, if it's not in your marketplace yet, if you haven't had to challenge your community yet for your right to host responsibly, you will. And that's where Annette and I met at a city council meeting. That is where a lot of hosts are having to at least, you know, sign a petition, show up, or like Callie and Bob, lead the charge. Callie goes over her
step-by-step, like process that crushed it, that anybody can use for HOA, for city, for township. Honestly, she just gave like life lessons on when you're presented with a challenge and you've got to try to get the negotiate.
From the point of view of someone who has never done it before, mm-hmm. which I think is even more valid. Because sometimes when people are like experts at things, it's like, okay, sure, but you've been doing this for years. Callie had never, and Bob have never
led an advocacy correct. In a city before.
So they just come at it with this like simple but calculated point of view. And I can't wait for you to find out what happens. Bob and Callie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah. It's great to be here.
Well, let's dig in. Just to refresh for our listeners, Sarah and I met fighting for our right to short-term rent. That's literally the first day that Sarah and I ever met, years and years and years ago. Let's learn about why you guys had a fight for your right, for your short-term rental. Take us back to your story and, you know, just hitting this roadblock pretty early in on your short-term rental journey.
Yeah, so it might be helpful to just give a little context to how we got to that first short-term rental. Bob and I started house hacking, and we actually still are house hacking our current residence in Minneapolis area. And post-wedding, when we actually had some time on our hands, we were like, we want to get into the short-term rental space.
Yeah.
And house hacking, is it a duplex or is it a like ADU? How are you house hacking right now?
Single family home with a mother-in-law suite. Oh. So separate entrance, pretty separate from a laundry, dryer, kitchen, all that situation.
So that's kind of your first guest is your long-term, your long-term resident. Okay, cool. All right. So that's going along. And so you're like, let's get into shorter stays.
Yeah, we're both super passionate about the travel hospitality space and love traveling the world. And we're like, we're going to do this. We want to buy some property up in northern Minnesota, kind of start with a proof of concept, see if it works, and then see if we can expand and build out our portfolio in this space that we both care a lot about.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually, we had considered a motel first. then we decided, you know, maybe we start with a smaller short-term rental before we start with 14 units. So we started looking at smaller.
We're a tad bit ambitious, and it was a good thing that we ended up starting with a single family cabin. So we bought that back in August of 2022. And then it took us about a month to get it up and running, had it listed as of October. No big rehabs or anything crazy, just some little facelift items. And we got everything going. It was running great for a few months. And then come January 2023, we got a letter in the mail saying, you guys are renting without a license.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about me and Bob, but really me, I'm very like detail oriented, very organized, like nothing typically surprises me. So this one threw us for a loop.
Let's pause real quick and just share a little bit about the deal, if you can remember. Although whenever anyone asks me this, I always ask my husband because he remembers the details and never do. But how much was the log cabin and how much were you hoping? Was it going to cash flow immediately? Can you just share us anything about the deal itself? And then, yeah, let's get into the license.
Yeah, purchased the property for $323. Had this big, robust underwriting spreadsheet that we built or tried to build from scratch.
Yeah.
And the goal was to basically, if it could be occupied 41% of the year, we would make a 10% cash on cash return. So that's what we were aiming for. We're like, hey, worst case scenario, we break even or maybe even a little down, but we have a cabin that we can enjoy ourselves too.
Yeah. It's only 2 hours up north from comparables in the area, you know, using AirDNA, Price Labs, just looking at the occupancy rates in the area, we're like 41%, we're safe. This would be great. And yeah, lo and behold.
What was your occupancy rate before you got this delightful letter in the mail?
It was hovering around 60%.
Oh, nice.
So you guys are loving life. Was there not an email? Was there not a phone call? It was a letter, because that one hurts when you go to the mailbox and get that.
Yeah.
What? Take us behind the scenes of that. Like, were you guys together when you opened it? Was someone at work? Because no, this is like an crap moment where you're like, this just took a terrible, terrible turn. I just like to know what happens with the couple when they get that letter.
Yeah, there were some tears involved. Okay. It was pretty devastating. I opened the letter. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? Like, this has to be wrong. And that wasn't even the worst part. We'll get into more details there. But yeah, I had a meltdown. I was pretty sad about it. And this one keeps me calm. So he's like, you know what? We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, it was tough that day. We actually were heading to a group dinner. I can't remember if it was with your parents or family. And I actually had opened the letter before the dinner and didn't want to surprise her with that before the dinner. So kind of just set it aside and was like, all right, we're just going to pretend this doesn't exist for the next 3 hours. And then we'll deal with this later.
First of all, how sweet of you. That's a good call. So at least enjoy your last
been a
summer.
Lot. Yeah, exactly.
But I do have some questions that I wonder if others listening might be asking too. So you had this awesome spreadsheet that you built out from scratch, like an online calculator. It's already been done.
Callie's detail oriented.
That was good enough for you. Callie's, you wanted detail. Your own. Yep. I appreciate that. So did you buy it from someone who was selling it as an operating short-term rental? Did you look into licensing and didn't find anything? Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah. So in the listing description, it wasn't rented previously. Mm-hmm. I think one of the mistakes we made was we worked with an agent who wasn't super familiar with the market, didn't do our vetting on the agent. They weren't familiar with regulations in the area, but definitely not all on the agent, right? There's definitely a burden on us to do the research, which we thought we did. So on the listing description, it said we were in the city of Pillager. And even on our closing disclosure, city of Pillager.
All our documents.
All of our documents. And we're actually just right outside the city of Pillager, the city limits, in the township, in a township right on the outskirts. So We did all of our research. We read the ordinances front to back for the city of Pillager, for the county, and nothing. There was nothing regarding short-term rentals. We missed it. We completely missed it. It wasn't for a lack of effort and trying to do that due diligence up front, but I think the combination of the lack of kind of experience and exposure from the agent, at least in the local expertise in the local market, and then the just unfortunate ignorance around not realizing, right, and taking the listing description and at face value, and trying to do online research instead of just calling. We should have called the local government officials and had a conversation, because that would have helped us out.
That would have shed light on our actual location. Because I mean, we did do a bunch of research. I mean, we looked at the county and the city of Pillager ordinances, as well as state ordinances, just to see, you know, where we actually fell in, and believed we were fully in the clear until we weren't. But yeah.
And what, so the letter was from the township the home resides in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you not know about that technicality of the township until that letter arrived?
Yeah. Yep. The one thing that like made us question it was when we were setting up our garbage.
Yeah.
And we called the city of Pillager and they were like, yeah, you're actually going to have to reach out to the township for that. And we're like, oh, that's like interesting, but didn't think twice about it. Mm-hmm. And then when we got this letter, it was from the planning commission as a part of that township. And it is actually a pretty funny story.
Yeah.
The townships, it's funny now. It was not funny at that moment. The township clerk, her sister, stayed at our property and had a wonderful time.
All
like,
right.
Just was like, this is beautiful. It was amazing. And she told her sister, and that was the like flag. Oh, they don't have a license. We gotta send them a letter. So it wasn't for complaints or any of that. It was just like, yep, we had a great time. Oh shoot, you're not licensed.
Yeah, because there's only two Airbnbs in the area. She's like, oh, which Airbnb was it? And when she found out, oh, it's a new one. Well,
okay.
Let's look into it.
So then you just go online, apply, shut it down for a week or two, right? Is that how easy it was?
Yeah. So that would have been great. That was because we're definitely like, I mean, even going into this market, knowing that there wasn't regulations, we were like, oh, like we kind of wish there was something, because we're all for balanced regulations, having some licensing criteria to make sure that hosts are renting responsibly. And they had all of that and a frequency limitation. So you could only rent 14 rental events in the entire year. And there's not only that, there was a seasonal requirement on top of that. So you could only rent 8 times in the winter months and 6 times in the summer months. The kicker was they define a rental event. So 14 rental events as anywhere from 1 to 7 nights.
Okay.
So at the very least, it's 14 nights in the entire year. And at the very most, what was it?
It's 96.
90 something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing helpful for you.
No. Not 41%.
That's 41% got knocked down a bit. What was the action that the letter required of you? Was it, you need to get back to us, you need to show up in court? What was their call to action in that first letter?
It was, you need to get licensed.
Yeah, it was, you have to apply for a license. And then every event that you rent from here on out, it's going to be a $500 fine. And I don't know if it was an event or if it was nightly event, meaning like every night that you're renting, it's going to be a $500 fine. But yeah, it was, you have to get licensed to continue to rent.
Okay. So it wasn't a complete, you're done. It was, we need to get the license. How many reservations, like when was your next reservation? How many did you have when you had this letter in hand? Because that's probably the first freak out moment, right? Is your guests that are coming soon?
Yeah. So we got the letter in January. We had another weekend of bookings to wrap up January, and we didn't actually have anything February on yet. So if there was a silver lining, there wasn't much that we had to cancel looking forward. And we weren't really sure what to do next. So the first thing we did was we called the planning commission leader who was amazing, actually. He was really great. He was empathetic. He said, all of the realtors in the area know this. They should have, the listing agent at the very least should have mentioned it. Like, we were very transparent with our intentions. So he felt for us and he said, hey, go ahead, get the license. And we're like, hey, we shut down our books here. We're going to get the license. We'll do all of that ASAP. And he said, that sounds great. And then he said, and it's been 5 years since this ordinance came out. So you could, if you wanted to, you could fight this. You could try to amend the ordinance. And we looked at each other and we're like, all right, we're going to figure it out. We're going to try to amend the ordinance.
Wow. Were you both on board equally?
Yeah.
They wanted that 41%.
Yeah. Yeah, we were definitely both on board equally. I think, like, even though we didn't pour like a bunch of money into rehab, emotionally we were invested in this property, being our first short-term rental for one. And then also the emotional impact it had on us just setting it up together, the late nights,
there's a lot of love and blood,
and tears that went into it. Yeah.
No, and you are such a great example of, I would say, most of the people who tune into the Thanks for Visiting podcast are people who are hosting because, yes, they want a great real estate investment, but also they truly care about the hosting side of it, like that part they're passionate about. So just to sell it and get another asset in a place that has the regulations they need, I would say majority of our listeners, they would have done, was very similar to what you would have done, or at least seriously considered it if time would have allowed. So share with us, first of all, my question is, did you have experience before fighting
in advocacy?
Yeah, like, no, we're shaking our heads. No,
I'm in consulting. So I kind of have the background of gathering a lot of research, trying to understand the problem at hand, human-centered design, so storytelling, crafting a narrative. So I had some of that, but neither of us have gone up against legislation before and tried to change, let alone tried to change it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm in software engineering, got a degree in computer science. Like, I don't like talking to people that much. So yeah.
Yeah. I made him come on the podcast.
No, we love it. So this board and commission, he's like, it's 5 years. You guys can fight this. Obviously you probably apply just for what the current status of the 14 events. Give us the size of this town. Like, did he tell you what the next steps were, or did he just kind of plant that seed and you had to just do all the research yourself and let our listeners know, like, what were those steps? Like, you know, did you guys start a spreadsheet? Help us help others.
Yeah. So he just planted the seed. Not much more than that. So the very first thing we did was, like you mentioned, we got the license. That you had to, it's the stereotypical septic compliance, fire inspection, site plan, evacuation maps on all of the bedroom doors. So all of the stuff that we had, a lot of it already. It was just like documenting it and sending it over and then showing up at the next planning commission meeting, which happens once a month. They have a planning commission meeting once a month and a board meeting once a month. So we gathered all of that information. We showed up at that first meeting, not only to get our license, but also to propose that we want to amend this thing. And that was a lot of crafting a narrative and deciding how the heck are we going to convince this group of people that this is a win-win scenario for everyone.
Yeah.
Is it a small town? Like this
board.
Okay.
Town.
I'm just imagining, like, are you guys thinking about what you're wearing, exactly what you're going to say? Cause it's probably like, if it's a lot of times commission and boards, like, they've been on for a long time and they're almost looking for someone to kind of, you know, want to change things and then just kind of flex their power, if you will. What was the boardroom like? What was the vibe in there? Was it you against the board, or were they very welcoming to you? How can our listeners anticipate what's gonna happen in these board and commission rooms? Potentially, you guys they're smiling at each other. Like it was a vibe.
Yeah, some were very friendly. There were some. I'm trying to find the best way to put this. There are some who weren't very happy with us being there. Some who were very happy with us being there. Some who were on our side. Some were very much not on our side, didn't want anything to do with short-term rentals in their, you know, in their backyard, saying stuff literally like, you know, the summer days are golden days. I don't want strangers in my backyard, which is understandable. But at the same time, our properties are quite far apart up here in this like lake area that we're on. And also they shouldn't be in your backyard anyways. So that'd be a bigger problem.
I think for the most part, though, we did get a lot of respect because we showed up really prepared. We showed up. I don't know if anyone's showed up at the public input at the Planning Commission meeting with a PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. I mean, I felt like Leslie Knope. I don't know if you guys watch Parks and Rec, but I was at the mic. Bob was sitting behind me and I was preaching. I was like, this is what we want. And we're going to make this happen. And we're going to advocate for the right of hosts to rent responsibly in this area. There's only two rentals. Like we can make this a good thing for the community.
Yeah.
I have a feeling our listeners are going to email in for your PowerPoint.
Actually, my next question was, Kelly, is there any way you can give us a high level view of what those slides were?
We have notes. We're ready.
Leslie, like, you've really come prepared. I'm proud of you. Yes. Please give us a synopsis of and how'd you come up with what to share? Did you go to any websites? What was your research?
Yeah. So I think it started with like just understanding like the history of the ordinance and really getting a sense for like what all went into this. Like they clearly put a lot of effort into crafting this the way that it is. Like why are they saying 14 events? What were the biggest pain points in the community? What is really understanding? And I think that goes back to just the work I do in my W-2 too. It's like, what is the problem and understanding the problem before you try to jump to solutioning. So I think we started there.
We pretty much started with the problem, try to figure out what would make both parties happy, right? So trying to parties being the actual commission board, planning committee, and then us.
Was the licensing, I know he said it was it's 5 years was up. Had it just started 5 years ago? Or was it just so the time?
The ordinance went into effect in 2019.
So it was very, very new. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So it wasn't like it was just renewing every 5 years. This was the first time it was up for discussion again.
Yeah. Okay. And I think it was because they were getting more interest from other hosts that in the community that were thinking about it. And I think there was a realization too that maybe it is a little bit too strict in order to make this viable for hosts in our community. So that was a good thing. Like we had that on our side. I think through conversations and research and just asking the Planning Commission leader, I think the things that we learned were the reason why the ordinance came into effect were there a couple problem properties. I think that's most oftentimes the case. And noise was a really, really big thing. That was the biggest pain point for the community. Even our cabin is on a little cove that the noise just carries. So understanding that, understanding just data in the area around occupancy. So in the county surrounding, about 45 to 60% occupancy is pretty average. So going in knowing, okay, that's where demand's at. How can we craft a proposal that is grounded in the pain points of the community, is grounded in the data that is available to us? Because I don't think like back when this ordinance came to be, they did look at what other communities were doing, but there wasn't quite as much data available to make an informed decision. They used what they could to make a decision 5 years ago.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16,000,
17,000? Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes. I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats. And yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know. But I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, we know this. When we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostly, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes, plus our bottom line.
Yeah.
So listeners, please give Hostly's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostly's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostly's property management software to get $100 off.
So Leslie, go through your bullet points here. Just give it to us. Give us those high-level bullet points that crushed it.
Yeah, so we started with what we heard. So there was a section in the narrative about what we heard, a lot of what I just shared with you. The next was a little bit about our story, because as the host, right, you mentioned we're really passionate about providing this stellar guest experience, and we wanted to make sure they knew about that. I think there's other things that in searching for resources, right, to try to help us in this process, we came across things like, yeah, it's going to increase tax revenue and it's going to increase foot traffic to local businesses and all like the key points. But some of those things lack like the personal connection to like why this is important to us. So what we heard, our story, and then really kind of setting the scene on what our challenge is that to set up the ask. So for us, like we said, hey, going into this, we expected to rent for maybe 50 to 70% and owner occupy the other 30% of the year. That's not going to work with this current situation. So here's a couple options that we think make a lot of sense. And we gave them an option A and an option B. And option A was, please eliminate the rental event restriction and let's install some noise monitoring tech. Require all hosts install that. We came across in this process, NoiseAware, Minute, super incredible technologies that this small township had never heard about. So that was the first option. We knew they were never going to go for that. Not for the noise monitoring. We knew they'd love that piece, but for like eliminating the frequency restriction altogether. And then option B was, let's start with a 220 night rule. So 60% of the year, it's in line with where occupancy rates are at. And then let's set a time frame in which we can see how hosts are doing and set some metrics to address in 5 years, say, how is it going? Do we need to change anything? So that was the initial proposal that we brought to the Planning Commission.
So you gave them the solution. You were like, these are our two solutions that we've come up for. Love that. Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Did you include, and you said our story, were you by chance able to share the other two hosts that are currently hosting? Were you able to contact them and include their story or have them at the meeting at all?
So what we thought this was going to be maybe in a couple months process, and it ended up being 7+ months of going back and forth, and we'll like get into more of that.
But the
other hosts were, we didn't involve them at that first meeting, but we involved them as this process continued.
All right, because you thought maybe you could hit it out of the park first night and remedy this. Oh wow. All right, got it. Okay, so that was meeting number one.
Yeah.
And where do they leave it that night? Thanks. We'll take it back. Or they vote right there. What are next steps? Does it happen that
night?
Yeah,
no, that was pretty much it. They said, thanks for bringing all this information. It looks great. And we're going to go do our own research and find, you know, what the best change to the ordinance is going to be.
Yeah. So that first meeting was with the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. The real purpose of that first meeting was to approve our license. So we got the license approved and then we seeded this proposal. Then we showed up at the board meeting the same month. So that was also in, now we're in February now. That was also in February. And we presented to the board that proposal, and they were like, oh, interesting. We're gonna hand it off to our planning commission to do additional research.
Yeah, we're gonna give it back to the guys that just met with to
Yeah. So now we're in March and we show up at the next planning commission meeting. Yep. And expecting like all this great research to be done, and nothing. It was on the agenda and no one had done anything. And we're sitting there, and that was probably like, other than getting the letter originally, that was like probably one of the lowest points. Cause we're like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, we're in March, no progress has been made.
And you guys are driving 2 hours back and forth every time for these yep. lovely meetings too. Yeah. So you've got some windshield time to be thinking about what's going to happen when you get there. So exactly. Do you raise your hand and say, well, they just said no progress? Like, that was the agenda? Like, that was their comeback?
Yeah. They're like, we haven't looked into this yet. We're going to move it up to the next meeting, which is a month later. Like, that's, we're shifting now to April. And at that moment we left and we had some, like, we were discouraged.
Yeah, it was emotional. We were discouraged, but we left with, you know what, well, we got to roll up our sleeves mentality, and now we have to do the work for them, because it doesn't seem like this is going to be a fast process. We let them, you know, take the ball with all this.
So that next weekend we researched the 8 most comparable lake communities. We pulled all the stats. We attached all of the ordinances. We provided like a high level summary of what our findings and takeaways were from it. And we sent it over to them via email. And we said, here, we're doing this. We wanted to approach it in a way that didn't seem like we were stepping on toes, but we said, hey, like, we're doing this to maximize your time and help prepare you to make a recommendation, because the planning commission had to make a recommendation to the board. So we're like, we're trying to help you make this recommendation. Here is all of the information. We can dig deeper. You let us know. And that took it took us all weekend to grab all of that information and put it in a way that presented in a way that was helpful for them. So we did that. And then we said, okay, so come April, there better be a recommendation from this, from all this research. And we almost like played it back to them. We said, we're expecting April there to be a proposal ready to go for the board meeting at the end of April. And that's where we left it in April.
Yep.
Did you get a response from that email though?
Like, we got like a thank you. We'll pass it along.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very short.
A lot of times I was communicating with the deputy clerk. Several times I would CC everybody on there and get a little bit of my hand slapped. But I was trying my best not to, right, to go around the process.
Right. Okay, you show up in April. What happens?
Yeah, so showed up in April. I will say, like, after we got the license, we did open our calendar back up.
Right.
So it was shut down for 2 months.
Well, we shut down, opened it back up after we got the license and decided, you know, we're going to get the ordinance changed, however much that is.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
And at that point, we were renting legally.
Right. We're renting legally. Let's just fully open it up. Hope we don't hit over 90, 96, 98 days, whatever it is. In the meantime, while we, you know, continue to rent.
Were you, did you have minimum stays though? Were you making sure your guests, since you only had 14 events, like, hey, you have to stay for 5 or 7 days. Were you making it a minimum night requirement that was pretty lengthy?
Since we were still in the spring, most guests were just wanting to book weekends anyway. So we didn't find, like, we were still in like our first 6 months of hosting in general. So we didn't have those loyal guests booking, right, 6 months out yet, ready, yeah, to scoop up all the summer months. So, I mean, again, that was kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time. We were able to still just rent weekends and we weren't even getting requests for full weekly stays.
And is it the honor system, how you report back to the township?
Oh. It's all self-reported.
It is all self-reported. Yep.
Oh. Exactly. Self. How should I report this?
Yeah. It's all self-reported.
Yep.
Interesting. That was my big question. I was like, okay. All right. So we're the calendar's back open. You guys are cruising back up 2.5 hours or 2 hours for April's meeting.
Yep. So we're at April's meeting, and the board or the planning commission did do some research, some additional research. And we had, there's a couple that just were really hesitant to bumping it up to 220. So they agreed, they loved the noise monitoring tech. They were super excited about that. They felt good about it, changing it to a number of nights rule instead of a rental event rule. So that was really positive. They just couldn't get on board for the 220. And they kept talking down. And at one point they were 180 and then 150 and then 120. And
at one point they were at 100.
And just as the meeting went on, and we're just losing steam. And yep. We probably talked for 2 hours.
That was a long meeting. Long emotional meeting.
And it's public input. So there's a couple other people there, but it's really just us sitting there just having a candid conversation with the planning commission. And it almost ended like we just agree to disagree. And their recommendation to the board was 120.
Okay. Well, you got 30 extra days, right? From the original. Oh, no, it was just events. So
it was events. Gotcha, so it was still better.
It was still an improvement.
Still better. Yeah.
Okay. But 120, help me with fractions. What's percentage is 120 of 360? It'd be like 30%, 20%?
Yeah. It was below what we needed it.
Yeah. Right. It was not helpful in that.
Yeah. Okay. It's
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but, yeah. What was next? Ahead. When was the turning point? Like, when did you gain steam? When was there
light at the end of this tunnel?
Yeah. So they presented that to the board. The board didn't discuss it. They just said, we're going to bring it to a public hearing. So that's the final step, is they bring that recommendation from the planning commission to a public hearing. They get input from everyone, and then a decision is made. That public hearing has to be scheduled 60 days out. So by the time that was, like, that public hearing was July 20th. So we started this journey in January. July 20th, that public hearing was going to happen. And between April and July, we just worked our asses off to kind of prepare now we're speaking to a different audience. How do we show up at that meeting? How do we build our team of allies to attend, to submit impact statements, everything we can to make sure that we show up well for that public hearing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, reached out to the other renters in the area, wanted to see if they wanted to, you know, hop on board, show up at the meeting.
Let's pause right there, though. That's an important call you're making. And I know hosts, that's their biggest thing, is they want to rally their other fellow hosts. And it's like, how did you get their information? And then how do you talk to them? Because that is the number one thing we get a lot of questions about. Like, I need these other hosts to help me. How do I even, because they just want to reach out to them on like the Airbnb app. How did you do that? And how did you craft your message to make sure they were on board?
All of the above. We reached out to one of them via Airbnb. Like, we acted like we were booking, because I mean, there's only two in our township, so it's a little easier for us. But we did that. We also asked the deputy clerk for their contact information, and she was able to provide that as well. So it just took a little while, but she was able to provide that information, contact information. We also asked her, can you provide meeting minutes from the last public hearing 5 years ago? And like, what conversations were had? And can you provide us, how many violations have there been since the ordinance was in place? How many permits have been revoked? And all of this, like, really helped us kind of build that case for the ordinance is doing the job that it needs to do. And there hasn't been any permits revoked since that first ordinance was put into effect in 2019. So how can we use that data to help kind of shift the narrative a little bit in that meeting with the community members, and really like lead with the noise monitoring technology and all of the advantages of that?
Was your idea to get to rally people, was it just the other two hosts, or did you grow your audience bigger than that? Was it other real estate investors who might want to come into the township and pour some money and some tourism into there? But any other ideas you had to help
rally the troops
behind you, your foundation?
It was the other two hosts. It was the staff, the cleaning staff that we'd worked with. And if they couldn't attend, we asked them to submit an impact statement. So they wrote up a one-pager, and it was read at the public hearing. So that was great. So the cleaner, our landscaper, we reached out to the local coffee shop. We reached out to local real estate agents because they're trying to sell these properties, right? And attract investors or second homeowners as well that are interested in potentially renting out the space, at least for a portion of the year. That kind of unlocked a whole nother realm of data. One of the agents was working really in the weeds on this advocacy efforts in a neighboring county. So he was able to provide police data and all of this information that like we had at the ready, we didn't necessarily bring up in our conversation because it wasn't our township data, but it was available if we needed to reference it. And that was just a helpful conversation as well.
Yeah. It would have been great if he showed up to the hearing with us, but he had some conflicts that he wasn't able to show up.
That's good for listeners to know too. Like you might ask people for help and they might submit helpful documentation, but that doesn't mean that'll mean more bodies in the room for you.
Right.
But obviously you didn't lose hope or steam. So how'd it go?
It went really well. It was, we prepared for battle. We were like ready to take on like hundreds of community members because that's how they teed it up to us. They were like, 5 years ago, this was a hot topic and there was all these different niches of the community that were really unhappy. And so we were ready. We were ready to take on any argument. We had an explanation for everything. And the attendance was really low, actually.
Yeah.
We were very surprised. Like it had to have been less than 20 people.
Oh, wow.
It was about 8 people. We expected an angry mob with torches and pitchforks. And that wasn't at all the case. There was only one or two individuals who actually had, slight grievances being noise, and that was it.
And you had a solution. You had a fix for that.
Yeah.
How long did the discussion go on that night?
Probably like an hour.
It was relatively quick. I think the longest part of that discussion was still trying to land on the appropriate number of nights.
And it was less of a debate. It was more they gave space for every community member to come up and share their perspective. So several of our neighbors came up and spoke. One of them was in a very interesting predicament. He's right next door to us. And he had shared like, I don't have a problem with Bob and Cal. Like they're doing a great job. They're staying on top of it. It's some of the larger, there's one larger property in the same kind of area as us that just, it houses more people. And because of that, the noise carries and it's just hard to avoid that. So he was really happy to hear, hey, this, if you require all hosts to install this noise monitoring tech, that would solve my problems. Like all of the community members that showed up were just really happy that was being considered.
Yeah.
As we wrap up the episode, share with us what ended up happening and how it's been going since then.
Yeah. So we didn't get our 220, but we did get 180.
That's 50%. I know that one.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. We got 180. So we
my
were,
mom
it
and
was,
dad are proud. That college education is really coming through. That's awesome.
We were happy. It wasn't 100% what we were looking for, but it's enough for us to keep learning from this cabin, keep enjoying it ourselves when we're not renting it out. And maybe at some point we'll sell, but we feel like we've built now just trust and like reputation in the community. We were able to change the law. Like it feels big. Yeah.
Did you do it that night? Did they tell you that night though? You couldn't leave? I was like, I just wanted you guys to be able to like bust open the doors and like, we won. That didn't happen. Okay.
Nope. Didn't happen that night. But no, I mean, I think I consider it a massive win just from the fact that, I went into it expecting us barely to be able to change the law at all, change the ordinance. And create a massive impact, allowed others to come in there and be able to rent now. Besides the fact, we are getting more than the percentage that we had initially, assumed for 10% cash and cash return of 41% occupancy.
And are you maxing out your occupancy to your greatest potential, do you think?
We were booked out all summer. Wow. It was wild. It was our first summer, so we like didn't know what to expect. But that is definitely, I mean, from I would say end of June through September, like it was pretty booked. So we were very happy with the numbers.
Yep. Well, wait, this actually might end up working even better for you because you could maximize your busy season, actually relax, take time off. Like it's required time off. And yep. Now you're like, no, we're only open this 180 days.
This is a very net response right now, everyone.
No, seriously, like think about this. You guys know that 180 days you have to play in. And it's like, let's get maximum revenue during those 180 days. You have these dates that you're definitely, I mean, even though your calendar isn't open, you're still taking requests, but you know, yeah. Hey, no one's, we can have 2 months, 3 months off where we can go enjoy. We're not doing turnovers, anything like that. Give your team a break. I think it's this like, it's boundaries and guardrails that, you know, you can maximize, even though it's maybe not the full answer that you wanted, but you yeah. know, it gives you that guardrail now to just crush it during that busy season.
How important has the noise monitoring been over the past year? Is it working? Is it impactful? Share with us, other than your experience, is the community talking about it? How do your guests feel about it?
I enjoy the tech a lot. It's been working very well. We've only had actually one guest that we've been alerted to essentially being too loud. Immediately it sent them a notification. It was fantastic. They reached out immediately to us after they got alerted and were like, hey, just so you know, we're not actually being that loud. We're just playing some board games. Like, don't know what's going on.
And we're like, oh, it is getting a little loud. It's yeah. over the threshold. So yeah. we were able to communicate and resolve that really quickly. And they still gave us a 5-star review. Like they said, hey, we understand that this exists. We appreciated the quick communication and efficient communication. So it really was a positive response there. We had one guest that had booked and canceled the reservation because it was listed there. And I think if anything, like it's amazing. It's yep. it's being proactive and you don't want those guests anyway.
No, absolutely. Love that. And listen, like might be board games, but like Sarah's probably the most competitive person I know. She would get rowdy during a board game if she was losing. And maybe
we're talking about
winning.
Standing on tables. You know.
getting that. For someone that's in this right now, what's a mindset like tip? Because I feel like every host at some point in time is going to go through a challenge like this. What can you offer our listeners before we go of just something that really kept you focused in the zone and from both of you, if you don't mind?
From my side, I believe there's never like just an end. To a situation, right? There's millions of ways out of it, as well as like millions of solutions to the problem. That being, you know, going into changing this ordinance, we didn't think anything about, you know, the noise monitoring being a solution or the really the reason that the actual community had a problem with the rentals. And so finding out, you know, well, maybe there's a way we can, you know, keep our rental property and other rental properties from causing noise problems. And then finding a solution to that was pretty incredible. But yeah, basically, there's always a way out. You're going to find a solution some way.
Love it. Kelly, how about you?
My answer would be different if it was someone thinking about buying a property or someone that is in the situation where it's like, oh shoot, we bought a property and this is happening. I think if it's prior to purchase, it's just when in doubt, like create transparent, open dialogue with your community officials. It's scary at some times because you're like, oh, this is a great market, but it's going to come back to bite you if you don't understand. And people say that all the time, but give them a call. Don't just try to interpret the ordinance yourself. Like give them a call and have a conversation about it. And you'll pick up really quickly if their community is in support of short-term rentals or not. And you really don't want to be in a place that they don't want you there. So That's the first thing as a kind of proactive step. And then I think if you're in it, all similar to Bob, like I feel like I, for the most part, have a glass half full type outlook on life, but like this one was really hard. And I think just for those that are going through it, it's like, there was moments through it that we were like, we're alone. Like there's no one in the local market that's dealing with this. There's no one we can talk to help us through this. And I think just to tell people, like, there's a lot of people that are going through it. We hope that this podcast does a little bit to just help people realize that there is hope, and it's going to take time and patience and persistence, but you will get through it. And if that means at the end of it, selling it and moving on to the next great thing, that's okay. But that there's also hope, and there's a way to work through some of those tough moments. And it's okay to have some tears along the way.
Have you guys heard of Rent Responsibly at this point now?
We have. And I reached out to them, talked to a woman that actually I think was based in Minnesota. There just wasn't a big following. They had some resources that we could leverage, but there just wasn't a big kind of community in Minnesota, or at least yet in Minnesota. So
I also love that you came to a solution. Like my initial, this is a problem for me. My initial thing, which you hear this, but it's like I would have initially suggested a tax because I'm thinking, oh, townships love money. Everyone loves money. Like have a piece of my pie. Like, you know what I mean? Have some money, but you didn't even have to give up those goods, you know, like the technology and a small subscription to Minute or NoiseAware. And you came to this lovely result. And so it is a reminder of, and because actually I used to work at a hotel and in food and beverage, and my GM who like is like, you know, my mentor was always like, what is the solution that you can offer that doesn't necessarily cost money off the rip? And there are solutions out there to either calm a guest down or offer some sort of way to make their stay extra special that doesn't cost us money. And I have to remember that. And I love that you didn't even bring that up this whole conversation of, you know, having any sort of excise or lodging tax. So that's also a win too. Because even though your occupancy might be lower, you're not giving a piece of it back
that's
to
facts.
The...
That's great.
Yeah, right. Back to your community. So that's very cool too. All right. Are you buying another short-term rental anytime soon?
On our horizon right now, we want to buy... We're going back to the idea of a boutique hotel, motel.
Really
want to apply our operating model to that. Everything we've learned over the last year and a half. And hopefully potentially in a Midwest, like lake market or national park market. We're still kind of working through what that looks like, but we're excited about scaling a little quicker.
Yeah.
So good. Well, you guys have been such an inspiration to Sarah and I, but hopefully so many of our listeners out there are just like ready to take on the townships, take on the board. And this is even for an HOA. I think those bullet points that you gave were really going to help a ton of people in their endeavors. And where can people reach out to you? Or if they win their battle and they just want to say thanks to you, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, they can reach out to us at Big Water. I think it's bigwater_cove on Instagram or bigwatercove.com.
Cool.
We'll make sure to book with us.
Book with them. Yeah. And then we'll... Yeah, we'll link to all of that for sure. But thanks so much for and I believe you two reached out to us, right? And I want to encourage listeners, Callie and Bob. I mean, we already know they're like go getters, but they actually reached out to us, gave us very similar bullet points of like why they should be on the show, why their story is important, and that's why they're on here today. So if you have a story that needs to be shared with more of our listeners, please just reach out to us. And we're always taking applications for people to be on the show, share their story.
Callie and Bob, thank you so much. We'll share all of your contact information in our show notes. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.